Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, lots of commentaries, my own as well as others. We're going to give you the latest in health and nutrition, starting off with a Peruvian tree that has 10,000 times the effectiveness of chemotherapy drugs for cancer. Then a lot of people live under them, fluorescent lights. What do those bulbs do for our health? I'll give you the latest on that. And then we're going to segue into almost everyone is deficient, and you can die without it. What is the nutrient? I'll bet you don't know it. Let's see if you can guess. And curry can help prevent Alzheimer's, so they say. We'll check in on that. Arugula is one of nature's most perfect aphrodisiac and a top anti-cancer food, and much more on health and nutrition. Then on our environmental segment today, we're going to do a more in-depth analysis. First, we're going to give you brand new good news about how one country has banned Monsanto's glyphosate due to a study on chronic kidney disease. That's good for those of us who believe that GMOs, genetically modified organisms, are not good. Also, when I listen to the people on Fox and other programs talk about we really don't have a problem with our environment, I've decided to give them what has happened in just the last 4 weeks. 4 weeks, that's all, from around the world. And then see if anyone with any honesty or integrity can say that we don't have a problem with global warming and its consequences. Also today, you've heard it many times on this program because we've been challenging the Trans-Pacific Partnership since we heard about it more than 2 years ago. We've been challenging the trade policies that allow corporatization of our assets and our commons. But it has a greater significance when a Nobel Prize-winning economist, Dr. Joseph Stiglitz, says the same things. From the New York Times, the op-ed page, on the wrong side of globalization, he'll talk about, and I'll quote him verbatim, the issues on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and he's right on the button on this. If time permits, I'll also continue with my series on fascism, the powers and abuses of America's mega corporations, from Dr. Gary Coles from Global Research. I don't think I'll have enough time to have open calls. If I do, we'll certainly do that later on in the program. Let's begin. We all want to make sure that if someone we know has cancer, that every possible remedy that has been shown or proven to be efficacious and safe is applied. At least we have the knowledge of it for freedom of choice. Now, the leaf of the Peruvian gray viola tree, gray, G-R-A, viola, V-I-O-L-A, was discovered nearly 25 years ago, according to Christina Sarich of Natural Society, as a wonderful way to prohibit abnormal cell division. In other words, cancer and similar diseases of metastasizing unhealthy cells. Well, this particular graviola contains a cytotoxic compound that destroys cancer cells with lethal precision, but it leaves all your other healthy cells unharmed. By seeking out cells higher in the production of ATP, this tree's natural compounds are able to kill cancer cells. And that's it. It's been tested widely in over 20 different experiments. Many of these results have not been published or released to the public, but the National Cancer Institute confirms that the tree's active compounds attack and destroy cancer cells exponentially and exceptionally well. It's been shown to be effective in treating malignant cells in 12 different types of cancer, including colon, breast, prostate, lung, and pancreatic cancers. Now, compared to a commonly prescribed cancer drug, adriamycin, often given to chemotherapy patients, graviola is said to be 10 1,000 times stronger than the drug at halting cancerous cell division. The results were confirmed at the Catholic University of South Korea and published in the Journal of Natural Products. Purdue University has also found that Graviola leaves are anti-tumorous. Even tumors that were resistant to chemotherapy responded well to the active compounds in the leaves. Now, as an aside, the reason you likely haven't heard of this cancer-killing phenomena is the same reason thousands of other natural therapies are suppressed. Unless they patent the tree compounds, pharmaceutical companies cannot make a dime off a cancer patient. It is currently illegal to patent natural something that is found in nature unless there is something they can specifically isolate from it. And Big Pharma would then have to produce several types, and that's going to cost them hundreds of millions of dollars. That's why they haven't up to this point. There's just not the money. Now, you may have heard of Graviola by other names. I had some yesterday in our office here. Soursop. And the scientific name is Annona, A-N-N-O-N-A. Muricata, M-U-R-I-C-A-T-A. And while the fruit-bearing tree can also be used medicinally by utilizing the fruit and roots and the bark, it's the leaves, again, the leaves that contain the highest concentrations of the active ingredient, which is very powerful. It's astogenin, and soursop also helps with endocrine system problems. It supports your liver, kidneys, thyroid, pancreas, intestines, gallbladder, ovaries, and prostate. It's also been shown to reduce brain tumors and halt breast cancer. Now, the tree grows in Mexico, in the Caribbean, in Central America, and the North End, like Colombia, of South America. In fact, you could grow it in the United States. It takes about 6 years to bear fruit. And so pregnant women should be not using it, since the fetus also produces high levels of ATP, like cancer cells. And the seeds and roots, which you wouldn't eat, are neurotoxic. So, but the leaves, in proper concentration, and you wouldn't want to go get the leaves, but I'm just letting you know because we have so many people in this audience who have cancer. And they've tried everything and it hasn't worked. So this way, you now know that there is something out there that is also worth considering. Most people don't think twice about a fluorescent light, nor did I, until I met a scientist who had done some research showing that it overstimulates the central nervous system, and therefore people who work under fluorescent lights are going to be constantly stimulating their nervous system, and that can cause them just fatigue. And I said, but how can you tell? And he said, well, when you look at the light, it looks like there's a constant light, but it isn't. It's flashing so many times per second. And each one of those flashes is registered by your brain, and then it responds. That was a long time ago, at the very beginning of my career. Today, this is the latest on the dangers of fluorescent light bulbs from World Truth TV. Quote, you see them in every grocery store and home center, those funny-looking, curly, compact fluorescent lights that are rapidly replacing the old round bulbs, and pretty soon the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007 kicks in, requiring bulbs to be 25 to 30% more efficient this year, and 70% to be more efficient in a couple more years, effectively phasing out traditional incandescent light bulbs as a way to save energy and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The energy efficiency of these bulbs may be significant, but unlike traditional light bulbs, there's a hidden danger sealed inside each little bulb that requires special handling and disposal. Mercury, a potent developmental neurotoxin that can damage the brain, the liver, the kidneys, and the central nervous system. Infants and young children are particularly vulnerable to mercury's toxic effects. Even at low levels, mercury is capable of causing a number of health problems, including impaired motor functioning, cognitive ability, and emotional problems. Higher or prolonged exposure of mercury can result in much more serious health problems. Well, these bulbs are marketed as safe and don't pose any health risk as long as the glass remains intact. The danger comes if the bulbs are cracked or broken or not disposed of properly. Although it sounds like a minuscule amount, 4 to 5 micrograms, there's enough mercury in just one fluorescent light bulb to contaminate 6,000 gallons of water. So what does that mean if one of these bulbs is cracked or breaks in our homes, releasing mercury vapors in an enclosed area? Consumers, especially those with younger children, need to know what to do if you break one of these bulbs. First, the EPA suggests people and pets should immediately leave the room, open a window or door, and air out the room for 20 minutes. Turn off the central forced air heating and air conditioning systems. All right? So that's what we know. Also, make sure you thoroughly collect broken glass and visible powder using wet cloths. Never use vacuum cleaners or brooms. Put all debris and cleanup materials in a sealable container and put outside in a trash container or protected area for disposal. Do not leave bulb fragments or cleanup materials indoors. If practical, continue to air out the room where the bulb was broken and leave the heating and air conditioning off for hours. Also check the other areas that make sure that you don't have cross-contamination. So if you have other doors that were closed, fine. But if those doors were open when the bulb was broken, there's going to be mercury in those rooms. So air those out as well. So that's the latest on something that we have to pay attention to. Almost everyone is deficient in this one, did you guess? Potassium. That's right. Due to the poor monoculture farming practices of Big Ag, according to Natural News, most of the topsoil for plant-based foods has been depleted of key minerals for over 100 years. This recorded fact in junk or processed food diets has left most modern cultural individuals mineral deficient. And one of the most important is potassium. Now, magnesium was considered the master mineral since it's involved in over 300 metabolic processes. A lot written upon it, but less discussed is potassium, vital, absolutely vital. Too little leads to hypokalemia, which can result in irregular heart rhythms and death. And potassium is very important for your heart, your kidneys, your muscles, your nerves, your digestive system to operate properly. It also is required to regulate fluid balance, the body's acid-base balance, and blood pressure. Every cell in your body requires potassium to function properly, and insufficient potassium is linked to high blood pressure, osteoporosis, kidney stones, heart health issues, and strokes. So we want to make sure that you get your potassium every day. And finally, in the health and nutrition segment, can curry help prevent Alzheimer's? Well, here's the latest. India has a significantly lower rate of Alzheimer's disease compared to the United States and the rest of the world. And yet, what is it? There's about almost 1.4 billion people living in India. We have about 317 million. So just imagine, they have four times the population, and yet they don't have as much. Indians age 70-79 are 400% less likely to have Alzheimer's disease than Americans. Now, the reason for this is unknown, but the Indian diet may very well have something to do with this. What is it? Curry dishes. That's the staple of the Indian diet. In fact, a few years back, a study actually found that Asians who occasionally ate curry performed better on cognitive tests than those who rarely did. But we have a lot of knowledge today about curry. There are over 1,000 studies on its active ingredient, turmeric. Turmeric is the most clinically researched herb today. And scientists believe that curcumin, which is the active ingredient behind turmeric's brain-protecting effects. Now, how's it work? Well, it's simple. A number of factors are believed to contribute to Alzheimer's disease, like you've heard me talk many times about oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, inflammation, heavy metal toxicity. Viruses, they're all implicated. The formation of the beta amyloid plaque is a key feature of the condition. Well, curcumin tackles several of the potential factors implicated in Alzheimer's disease. One important feature is its ability to interrupt beta amyloid plaque. Studies show curcumin, cure, C-U-R, cumin, C-U-M-I-N, prevents amyloid beta molecules from assembling and destabilize them after they form. This permits the body's natural cleanup cells, the macrophages, to rapidly clean them up before they damage brain cells. And curcumin also displays strong antioxidant activity. It decreases free radicals that destroy neurons and chelates brain-damaging heavy metals. And a clinical trial found that curcumin had an anti-inflammatory effect and reduced amyloid beta aggregation in a group of people. In other studies, have shown that Alzheimer's-like symptoms showed improvement and on cognitive tests after being given curcumin. So that's just one very important nutrient that we could use in our food. It's great in rice, in stews. If you like dal soup, you could use either split pea or lentils to make a dal. And use, generally it's cumin, but you can also use curcumin, and the two together makes a great tasting soup. But if you don't want either of those, just take a couple thousand milligrams a day, spread throughout the day, of curcumin. Finally, arugula is known as an aphrodisiac and is a top anti-cancer fighting food. It originated from the Mediterranean diet. It's been in the United States for decades. Has a long history of being an aphrodisiac. Starting in the 1st century AD, Greek philosophers believed that it really enhanced the libido. The Roman Empire actually venerated arugula, identifying it as a god of fertility. It's part of the cruciferous family, and it has a wonderful, slightly pungent quality to it. The aroma is terrific, and it's actually in the herb family, herb vegetable, and it's essential in vitamin K, magnesium, manganese. And we know that vitamin K is important because that helps you have more dense bones, is what you want, and prevent osteoporosis. And it also helps with the chlorophyll to purify the blood and prevent possible DNA and liver damage. And it's also a cancer fighter, because it has the glucosinolate compounds that we know diminish the risk of possible breast, lung, colorectal, and pancreatic cancers. So, arugula is our food of the day. I'm Gary Knoll. We're going to segue now to our environmental segment. And there's two issues on the environment today that I'm going to share with you. And the first is some breaking news, and that is that Sri Lanka is the first country to ban Monsanto's glyphosate due to study on chronic kidney disease. I'll quote this from Christina Sarich from Natural Society, quote, "The forget the tit-for-tat tactics in the European Union and the U.S. causing the political steamrolling of anti-GMO activists. Behind the light at the end of the tunnel, Sri Lanka has become the first country to ban Monsanto's toxic Roundup Ready chemical glyphosate in light of recent studies linking it to chronic kidney failure. The Minister of Special Projects decided to ban Monsanto's glyphosate for good, and the reasoning is simple, protect the people. On the directive of the president, all glyphosate sales in Sri Lanka are now illegal. And during a media briefing, the Sri Lankan president stated that several programs have been implemented to prevent the high occurrence of kidney disease among farmers and communities throughout the country. And there have been dramatic increases in kidney disease, including total kidney failure in the United States, in Sri Lanka, and other countries that farm genetically modified organisms supposedly resistant to glyphosate. Now, the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health found that glyphosate was directly linked to these deaths, and Sri Lanka made their decision shortly after a similar ban in El Salvador for the same reason. Even U.S. regulatory bodies known for hiding facts about deleterious effects of GMOs are showing higher incidence of kidney disease linked to glyphosate. The USDA, the National Cancer Institute, the CDC, all reveal that people are being slowly affected by Monsanto's chemical cocktails, sold to unsuspecting farmers trying to turn a profit on their labors. Sri Lanka has taken an anti-GMO stance for years now, since they banned GMOs back in 2003. Meanwhile, our FDA still asks for public commentary on its site and begs for scientific proof that GMOs are deadly, all the while ignoring every single study we've sent them. Now, in this retrospect, I sent the FDA to its website, where it asked for input. I sent them a list of dozens of studies from peer-reviewed literature showing the damaging effects of GMOs. I sent it to the head of the FDA. I sent it to the head of the CDC. I sent it to over 16 places. Not a word in return, and it's as if they will not hear anything that challenges their pro-GMO position. I'm sure that many of people in this audience, while going across the dial of television or radio, have come across those people who first attack those of us who've done our actual homework, who've looked at the real science without looking at science through the clouded lens of some form of false idealism, some ideology. Simply look at something for what it is. And we see that global warming, both man-made and as a natural extension of climate change, has caused these unusual events, and it's only going to get worse, not better. There is no happy outcome at all. So instead of becoming apocalyptic or fatalistic, my approach has been to inform the public, all right, we can't change what's happening because it's tipped. So it's too late to develop an awareness, a consciousness, and care about yourself, your future, others. And most people aren't going to anyhow. Look at it this way. Look at who they vote for. Look at what they tolerate. Look at what they don't protest. Do you really think these people are going to care at all? They're what I call the Watching Katrina population. I'm broadcast down in all over the world, but also down in New Orleans during Katrina, and I told my audience down there, you've got 5 days to protect yourself, and I gave specific instructions. I suggested that if you can, rent a trailer, hook it onto a vehicle, load up all the things that are important to you, the things that you will want to have in the future, and then everything else that you cannot move, move to the highest point in your house. If you have a second floor, move it to the second floor. If you don't have a second floor, then it's simple enough to make a platform that is up against the ceiling, which is generally 8-10 feet, and generally water won't go that high. If it floods, it'll go to about 8 foot. So you can save a lot, you can retrieve a lot, and at least this way, even putting sandbags on the outside, but then wrapping the entire house of where it's possible that water could come in plastic, and then stapling it down, so when the water hits, and the mud hits, and the debris hits, you won't end up with massive mold. You take that off, and as it dries, you won't be all contaminated. And then I also suggested spraying bleach in different places that would kill the mold. Anyhow, I gave a whole understanding of what to do to get out of harm's way. And I said, if you just started on a bicycle, you would be out of harm's way if you went 60 miles north. They didn't. Everybody watched Katrina coming until we watched them watching for a rescue. Why wouldn't they get out of the way? they said they, well, the Corps of Engineers said it wouldn't, the levees wouldn't be breached. The people were told it wouldn't be that bad. But that's saying I'm not going to do my homework, and I'm not going to use reasoning, common sense, and I'm not going to act proactively. I'm just going to wait here. Now I'm a victim. Now rescue me. And we see that all the time in the American psyche. Just people who won't do a damn thing that's common sense or reasonable, but then scream that they're a victim. Yeah, of your own stupidity and inertia and hubris. That I agree. But it's not going to change. We're not going to change them. Nothing's going to change them. Our body politics not going to change. That's why I've completely shifted my direction from trying to reform anything, because nothing can be reformed. Our educational system can't be reformed. The corruption of our government at every level can't be reformed. Stopping ALEC at the state level can't be reformed. At the local level, of where they're going to infiltrate and influence all of our local councils, that won't be reformed. Our medical system won't be reformed. They kill more people than cancer or heart disease or stroke each year, yet that can't be reformed. None of the mega corporations are going to reform their free market policies. None of the psychopaths are going to reform and become human beings. I've never seen any reform that works. I do see transforming. That does work. So therefore, when you see that the people around you are living in denial, or if they're not in denial, they're complacent. Yeah, global war. Yeah, we had 123,000 remarkable environmental catastrophes last year, over 13,000 in the United States. We've already had 61 this year, the worst of in this year. But it'll be dealt with. We'll do a Marshall Plan. We'll get all of the great scientists together, and they'll come up with some great idea, and we'll stop it all. Now, could you stop blocking my television, because I want to watch the Kardashians and Duck Dynasty and things that are really important to me. And, oh, by the way, could you give me the bud and the hamburger and the fries? Make that a double fries and a triple hamburger. I saw a guy eat 6 pounds of it on television, so I'm going to try today to eat my 6 pounds. And you think, wow, this is what we are? Yeah, this is what we are. This is not what we want to project that we are. This is what we are. Not all of us, but about 85%. So when you hear these people, just realize that people are listening to them and nodding their head. They're in a belief system. So this is the mirror talking back to Sean Hannity. From Dar Jamal, Truth Out. Let's first look at the earth. All right? Here are the facts. These are not opinions. These are proven facts. 1/3 of all organic farmers in the United States are now reporting widespread contamination by genetically modified crops. Now, I'm a certified organic farmer. And I watch what I put in the ground, and I protect it, and I nurture the soil, and I rest the soil every other year. I don't plant anything. And I grow a fertilizer that feeds it, what's called a green fertilizer. Generally, it's you can grow soybeans, and then you bury the soybeans, and that becomes the nitrogen that fixes in the soil for the next year. All right? It's like running a race, then you rest. You don't run a marathon, then another week later run a marathon. You give yourself a chance to rest, and you should do the same for the soil. So how then did all these organic farmers have genetically modified crops? Wind, storms, birds. Half the growers have had entire loads of their grain rejected due to their having unwittingly been contaminated by someone else's GMOs. We've mentioned this many times on the program. You cannot have an organic farm and a GMO farm side by side or nearby, because winds and storms carry the seeds from one to the other. And speaking of frankenfood, in Sri Lanka and South America, an herbicide developed by Monsanto along with a phosphate fertilizer are likely the causes of an epidemic of the mysterious kidney disease in areas where rice and sugarcane are grown. Now, on the fossil fuel front, in Canada, large man-made lakes of oil sands mining waste are now leaking into the Athabasca River. Well, they're building two more giant pipelines that would rapidly expand Alberta's tar sands project. In Australia, it was recently revealed that the Australian Environmental Department did not conduct an independent analysis of how much it would cost to dump dredged soil onto land before it granted permission to dump it on the Great Barrier Reef. And that reef is dying. Now, given the ever-growing preponderance of our usage of electronics, all of us are morally obligated to understand that when you're using that cell phone or your computer, it has to go someplace and does when its time is up. For example, where's it go? Do you have any idea? Well, one of the places that it's going is to Ghana. Today, it's now the world's largest e-waste dump site, where discarded computer monitors are used to build footbridges across rivers, totally polluting their environment. A new study has confirmed that a magnitude 5.7 earthquake in Oklahoma, one of the state's biggest man-made quakes, was caused by fracking-linked wastewater injections. Now let's look at the water. Mind you, this is all in the last 4 weeks. Even the depths of the oceans are now at risk. 2.5 miles deep in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, mining companies are looking for ore deposits needed to keep feeding the industrial machine and continued production of smartphones. The number of companies looking for mine the pristine ocean depths has tripled in recent years, and the Deputy Secretary General of the International Seabed Authority has said that they're ramping up to destroy ecosystems. Quote, the amount of activity has expanded exponentially. Never mind that the rapacious machine that runs upon exponential growth has quite possibly already driven anthropogenic climate disruption. That's ACD, anthropogenic climate disruption, past the point of no return, making short-term human extension not only in the realm of possibility, but highly probable. Now, on an upcoming program within the next week, I'm going to have Professor Guy McPherson, who will tell you that he sees that we are going to be faced with cataclysmic, unprecedented challenge to the human species within the next 12 to 20 years. Yeah, it's coming. Well, like the rest of the planet, the oceans are being mined, drilled, dredged, polluted, and irradiated. Examples of this abound. Let me just give you a few. The state of Alaska now wants the federal government to remove endangered species protections for the humpback whales so as to remove a hurdle for companies that want to explore the Arctic coast for oil, given that the Obama administration has provided no evidence that the president will make any decision that ever benefits the environment, but always to protect corporate profits, then humpback whales are in deep trouble. Even the Supreme Court is doing what it can to protect the major emitters of greenhouse gases and polluters, not the environment. A new study led by NASA researchers shows that fresh water flowing from rivers into the Arctic Ocean is having a powerful impact on the extent of sea ice cover. And since the warm water discharges accelerate the melting of ice in the near the coast, this melting also has a wider climate impact. Here's what it means. It creates more open water, which is darker than ice and thus absorbs more heat from sunlight, further accelerating planetary warming. Not surprisingly, in the Gulf of Mexico, dolphins that were exposed to British Petroleum's oil and disbursement from what remains to date the largest marine oil disaster in U.S. history are suffering from a host of maladies, including lung disease and adrenal problems. A new study published in Current Biology shows that small fragments of plastic waste are damaging the health of lugworms, which happen to be a key cog in the marine ecosystem. A massive die-off of oysters and scallops off the coast of British Columbia has fishermen and seafood salespeople deeply troubled. Why? Ocean acidification. That's what it's from. Now, go back to what I just mentioned. Ocean acidification then leads to anthropogenic climate disruption. And that's also what we're seeing. And then you have fishermen telling us that you have all kinds of fish that are now filled with diseases. They can't sell them, including shellfish. And one fisherman said, quote, "The phenomena has no smell, but it kills everything." Off the coast of South Africa, 4,000 penguins and hundreds of seabird nests were oiled when a fishing trawler carrying approximately 2,500 gallons of diesel fuel ran aground just less than 3 miles from the Betty Bay Marine Protected Area. Back in the United States, a recent oil spill closed down 65-mile stretch of the Mississippi River that included the Port of New Orleans. The Mississippi, of course, flows into the fragile marsh where 90% of all organisms in the Gulf of Mexico spend part of their lives. Drinking water problems continue to grow all over North America. People in Clearfield County, Pennsylvania, are trying to stop the state from spreading sewage sludge, that's human feces, on soils. The state calls the sludge biosolids and says it will enrich the soil and improve the overall health of the land and animals. These people are wrong. It contains heavy metals. It contains drugs. It contains viruses that are not destroyed. The people are complaining of the stench of the sewage, in addition to the fact that it's making them sick. And speaking of feces, factory farms of pigs are poisoning Iowa's drinking water due to the fact that millions of pigs are jammed in overcrowded barns across the state. And while they're being fattened for slaughter, they're also breeding superbugs, which can find their way into the groundwater. Meanwhile, in Delaware, the water quality of the creeks, rivers, and streams running through the state is so bad that little of it is even considered healthy. In fact, 94% of Delaware's state rivers and streams are so polluted, fish are unable to thrive. Humans are even told not to swim in 85% of them. In West Virginia, my home state, the January chemical spill that contaminated drinking water for 300,000 West Virginians around Charleston garnered immense media coverage. However, most Americans remain unaware of the fact that many people in rural West Virginia living in places outside the reach of the spill already had been living without drinkable water for months, and in some places, years, due to contamination from the mining industry. Of course, the march for ever more oil drilling continues apace, with prospectors now hoping to find their next big gusher in South Florida's fragile Everglades, whose wetlands are habitats for more than 60 threatened and endangered species, along with the fact that they play an integral role in providing around 7 million residents of South Florida with their drinking water. And as the industrial growth society continues its destructible trundle of consumption and pollution in the name of increasing profit for next quarter's financial statements, the new look, the signs of this very important and, again, anthropogenic climate disruption goes unabated. Low-lying countries are, of course, already losing land to rising oceans, with even greater displacement coming soon. A recent report shows that Indonesia will likely lose 1,500 islands completely to rising oceans in the near future. But before that happens, the country's international airport, which serves the capital, will be completely underwater in the near future. In fact, Jakarta, with 40% of its land below sea level, is sinking and will see all of its northern districts turn into lakes by the time the airport is underwater. Now, the flip side of rising seas is increasing drought and flash floods on the continents. In northern India, the once massive Tawai River used to flow through the city of Jammu so powerfully that residents had to take boats to cross it. Today, the river is barely 2 feet high for most of the year and has turned into a dump ground for untreated city waste. Ongoing research published recently in the Journal of Nature Climate Change shows that the number of days with extreme heat will continue to increase even when the overall average does not. And disturbingly, It is these days of extreme heat, not the average daily temperatures, that matter most when it comes to impacts on wildlife, farming, and humans. Another recent report forecasts California's climate to continue to become hotter and drier. Now, aside from occasional torrential rains and flash floods, the state will continue to get less and less water from an ever-decreasing snowpack in the Sierra Nevada, and the Pacific Ocean will continue rising and consuming the state's coastal areas, including Los Angeles and San Diego. And weather extremes, the new normal, due to what I said earlier, due to the again, just keep this in mind, you're going to hear a lot about this in the future, anthropogenic climate disruption. And so that's going to happen more and more. And Malaysia, a country that usually brings to mind tropical rainforests and beaches, now finds millions of residents having to ration their water due to scorching drought. Sri Lanka is also in the midst of an extreme heat wave and accompanying drought, fears that continue to mount as an increasing power cuts and interruptions to the country's water supply due to low reservoir levels worsen. Now, the flip side of this part of the climate coin is deluges of rain and the flooding that comes with it. Residents on Caribbean islands hit by massive storms over Christmas are still struggling to recover, as are folks in the United Kingdom, who have recently experienced the worst flooding in the history of the country. A recent study brings no solace to UK residents, as it shows that the frequency of severe flooding across Europe is set to double, a phenomenon which will bring a 500% increase in annual economic losses resulting from flooding. Australia can expect other extremes, as the recent State of the Climate report of it by Australia's Bureau of Meteorology shows the country being hit by even more extreme heat and high fire danger, and the southern regions of the country drying up. The report says these trends will only continue to accelerate as the planet continues heating up, and that the projected increase in the number of extreme hot days is undermined by the fact that there are more extreme heat days this past year than there was in a 40-year period in the United States. And this is particularly bad news given that the current drought in Queensland is officially the worst and most widespread on record, with 15 more districts and shires in Australia recently declared drought. It's not coming back. You're not going to get improved. It's only going to get worse. The coal seam gas project in Australia has contaminated nearly most of the aquifers that it affects, with uranium at 20 times, that's 2,000%, set for safe drinking water. But if you have no other water to drink except that which contains radiation, you'll drink it. Some smart people in Australia came up with that great idea, and to put the coal seam gas project right by a aquifer. And regarding the oceans, we are now at that level where the ocean dynamics of Antarctica are being disrupted. According to another recent study, the report cites the example of a massive ice-free region the size of New Zealand, which used to be frozen part of the ice blanket of the Southern Ocean surrounding the ice continent, but has recently disappeared from the region completely. Meanwhile, at the other pole, new research shows that the Arctic sea ice season has been shortening by 5 days per decade due to the formation of sea ice being delayed by warming weather. The study, which appeared in the journal Geophysical Research Letters, indicates that the Arctic Ocean is absorbing more of the sun's energy in the summer due to shrinking ice cover, and this is leading to the delayed appearance of the autumn sea ice. But then let's look at two other areas. Let's look at our air. It's not that we shouldn't pay attention, it's that we don't. And we build massive cities, populate them with millions of people, then live amid pollution so intense it kills us. Beijing is perhaps the best example, being the worst-case scenario of countless small choke cities around the planet. Scientists have deemed the air there to be so bad, the place is barely suitable for living. Last year's monitoring of Chinese cities showed that more than 95% of all the major cities in China failed to meet even the minimal environmental standards. Air pollution from coal already kills 1 million people a year in China. And in vast swaths of the country, life expectancy is already reduced by at least 5 years and going further down. In fact, Chinese scientists now warn that the entire country's air pollution is so bad it resembles a nuclear winter that is even slowing the photosynthesis in plants. Now, why is that important? Because without photosynthesis, you end up with a catastrophic condition where you can't grow food. Can't grow food, people are going to starve. Amazingly, the Chinese state, in deploying drones that will spray chemicals onto the smog, causing it to solidify and fall to the ground as part of their war on pollution. How stupid can you be? Well, I guess the Chinese are at the top of the list when it comes to caring about growth, caring about profit, but not caring about the environment or their people. In Australia, residents in the Latrobe Valley are protesting because smoke from nearby coal mine fire has blanketed their area for several weeks, bringing the town to a standstill and turning the town into a national disaster. Since the pollution reached levels that are 2,200% higher than the recommended safe levels, triggering a health alert. So people are told to stay indoors. Well, how are you supposed to stay indoors every day? You got to go to work. You have to go out. Can't do it. Then there are the other ongoing unintended consequences. Researchers recently found an ancient giant virus that I mentioned on this program a couple of weeks ago that was buried deep within the Siberian permafrost. The virus had been previously untouched for more than 30,000 years. But now this huge virus has been revived. Scientists, of course, blame other things and industrial activities for bringing this and other potential pathogens to the surface. Another pathogen, the West Nile virus, is now expected to increase in incidence. And warmer temperatures are also now causing malaria to spread to new altitudes in the African and South American highlands, traditional havens from disease. Higher the altitude, less disease. Now, the disease is coming after you, even at higher altitudes. Let's look at fires. Radiation from the ongoing Fukushima nuclear disaster is being tracked, and a recent study shows radioactive cesium from the Japanese plant reaching the Pacific coast of North America in 3 weeks. Fukushima remains on the forefront of many folks' mind because it's an ongoing disaster and its direct impact on our health is obvious. However, we tend to forget how much radiation has already been put into the oceans. Those have been exposed understand the difference. Residents of the Marshall Islands recently marked 60 years since the United States dropped a hydrogen bomb on the Bikini Atoll, causing islanders to be exiled from their homeland forever. Islanders rightly remain too fearful to go back because of the nuclear contamination. The United States conducted 6 nuclear tests there in all, leaving hundreds of forgotten victims among the islanders to live with ongoing health effects and painful memories of what it's like to be exposed to radiation. But closer to home, those living in the United States, significant construction flaws in some of the newer double-walled storage tanks at Washington State's Hanford Nuclear Waste Complex could lead to additional leaks of some of the worst radiation waste at the most contaminated nuclear site in the country. But not to be outdone, the only nuclear waste repository in the United States, located in Carlsbad, New Mexico, has an ongoing radiation leak. But that has not stopped the brilliant minds running the repository from pushing to obtain even more nuclear waste. Japan is struggling with ongoing radiation problems as more than 500 tons of radioactive waste from Fukushima is being stored in Tokyo. Did you know that? Yes, and it's threatening residents. Shockingly, all of this ongoing pollution and dramatic evidence has happened amid what U.S. and U.K. scientists recently described as a brief slowdown in global warming. Everything you've just heard me talk about occurring on the planet has happened in the last 4 weeks. So, the next time you hear one of the individuals on Fox or anywhere else say that we don't have a problem, it's all political, no, it's not, it's real. And I could have spent 2 hours doing this discussion instead of what I did, simply because there is so much information at hand. And finally today, I wanted to share a commentary. But before we go to the commentary, I want to share a special. So I'm going to take a moment and then give a special, then finish up with commentary. Here's the special, and it's a good one. We all need to take multiple vitamins. The trouble is most people take the vitamins they see advertised on television, and understandably, because you think, okay, well, that looks good, that particular vitamin. But then you look at the amounts of what you're getting, and they're, to my belief, minimal, absolutely minimal. I don't believe we should be taking minimal amounts of nutrients that are maximally important for our health. So I set about trying to create what could arguably be the most single important multiple vitamin anywhere, ever. And so I wanted to tell you what's in mine, just to give you an amount. For example, I want vitamin A. Well, we need, I believe, 15,000 units a day. In one single serving, I'm giving you 1,200 milligrams of vitamin C, including ascorbyl palmitate, which makes it fat-soluble and stays longer in the blood. Vitamin D and vitamin E. Yeah, 500 units of vitamin E, by the way. And B1 and B2, but amounts that I know make a difference. 75 milligrams, 50 milligrams. B3, B6. B6 is one of the most single important nutrients we can take in. 100 milligrams. Folic acid, 800 micrograms. Yeah, B12, biotin, pantothenic acid, calcium, iodine, magnesium. 800 milligrams of magnesium, by the way. And zinc and manganese and chromium and selenium and molybdenum, potassium. And then the exotics, the ones that really are the superstars. Mushroom complex, milk thistle, bilberry, lycopene, grape seed extract, coenzyme Q10, quercetin, ginkgo, broccoli, acerola, hesperidin, glutathione, linolenic acid, ginger, DHA, yes, DHA, the same DHA from the omega-3 fatty acids, superoxide dismutase, alpha-lipoic acid, 150 milligrams of that, trimethylglycine, boy, there's a superstar, 200 milligrams, phosphatidylserine, 200 milligrams, isoflavongenistine, inositol, lutein, citrus bioflavonoids, MSM, taurine, there's a superstar, both MSM and taurine, 500 milligrams, N-acetylcysteine, 500 milligrams, lysine, 500 milligrams, ornithine alpha-ketoglucarate, there's a superstar, 500 milligrams, choline bitartrate, phosphatidylcholine, 500 milligrams, acetyl-L-carnitine, wow, that's a super, super, superstar, 500 milligrams, and bromelain. That's it. Now show me another vitamin complex in the world that contains all that. Do you realize how much money you would save? We actually did it. We went to the store and bought each one of these in a month's supply to see how much it would cost you, and it's a fortune. You know, you save hundreds of dollars. So what is your cost? Today it's only $90.99. Big savings. The Supreme Health Multiple Vitamin Mineral Formula. You take this, you don't have to take all the other supplements. Makes an enormous difference. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065 for something that we all need. We all need vitamins, minerals. But then you look at what's in this one. You look at the money you're saving. You look at the quality of the synergetic combination of it. And you think, wow, yeah, the other one's just, well, They're off, you know, they have to make a profit. And they're spending a lot of money on advertising. This is different. You won't find this in any of the drug stores or box stores or Walmart or Kmart. You won't find this anywhere. Supreme Health Formula. It covers the full spectrum at the levels that I believe are necessary. 877-627-5065. Now towards the end of our program, I've been doing a series now for over 2 years on fascism, or how America is becoming a police state, and part of this is because of the power of the mega corporations working with political entities to impact us. And I recently wrote an article that I suggest you read. It's about the sociopaths of Wall Street and how they can do the things they do without any sense of consciousness. Well, they're sociopaths. They don't have consciousness. There are a number of common denominators that link the multinational corporations that populate the Fortune 500 and the Dow 30 industrials, like Walmart and McDonald's and Coca-Cola and Dow and Chevron and Exxon and DuPont and British Petroleum and Halliburton, Monsanto, Merck, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, Nestle's, Perrier, Nike, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Enron, etc. For one, the corporations that I just mentioned, they will not come out and debate those of us who would challenge them with what it means to be on the other end of how they make their money. In other words, the consequences to society and individuals. There are checklist diagnoses of various personality disorders in the Billing and Diagnostic Manual of Psychiatrists. One of the 374 disorders that are listed in the edition is antisocial personality disorder. It's code number 301-7, which identifies chronic pathological liars, cheaters, extortionists, abusers, thieves, and killers who lack morals, ethics, or conscience. Commonly enables them to avoid being caught or punished for crimes and misdeeds. Now, these sociopaths typically refuse to accept blame or responsibility for their actions. In the case of sociopathic megacorporations that are occasionally successfully sued in court, business-friendly judges will often allow a gag rule to be imposed against the plaintiff and may also allow the corporations to deny any wrongdoing, even as it accepts the penalty. Those supposedly human corporate entities that the Supreme Court allowed under Citizens United can easily meet the criteria of antisocial personality disorder, in my opinion, and thus seem to be incapable of showing genuine remorse if or when they are caught or convicted for their crimes. That's just the way it is. Now, there are seven diagnostic criteria that are used to diagnose antisocial or sociopathic personality disorder in humans. Be mindful that only three of the seven are needed for a positive diagnosis. See how many of these would be able to be applied to corporate leaders, politicians, or corporate entities. 1. Callous disregard for the feelings of others. The incapability to maintain human relationships. Reckless disregard for the safety of others, aggressiveness, deceitfulness, repeatedly lying and conning others for profit, incapacity to experience guilt, and the failure to conform to social norms and respect for the law, lack of conscience, lack of remorse for evils done to others, indifference to the suffering of victims, rationalizes, make excuses, having hurt, mistreated, or stolen from others, willingness to exploit and seduce or manipulate others, No sign of irrational thinking, cunning, clever, usually above average intelligence, always looking for ways to make money or achieve fame or notoriety, willing to cause or contribute to financial ruin of others, untrustworthy, cannot be trusted to adhere to conventional standards of morality. Now, we're talking about criminality in individuals that are not considered mentally ill. Sadly, sociopaths are, for all their intents and purposes, totally sane, but are also incurable in their personality disorder. These individuals and hence corporations make up a lot of the American population and an awful lot of our political class and the corporate high-end elite corporate one percenters. We don't know the total number of sociopaths around us or the corporations that act out because they're run by sociopaths. But whoever runs a corporation or whoever is head of a governmental agency, whether it's a general or someone running the Federal Reserve, if they're sociopathic, if they're emotionally out of touch, if they're out of balance in their ethics, then it's very easy for them to exercise their power to make bad things happen for us and money to come to them. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time, and I want to thank you for taking your time to listen in. And I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day.